You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Keep them in the cage. Speaking of people who should be in a cage, Mike Musselman joins us. Gunner, what's up? How you doing?
Good, Mac. You?
Last day of May, man. June. Summer's here. How's the weather in Texas?
Oh, today it's beautiful out.
Really?
Slight breeze. It kind of cools things down. It feels good.
What's the daytime temperature? Are you guys in the 90s yet?
87.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah, and it's, like I said, the wind kind of makes it more comfortable.
Right. We like that. We like comfort.
Makes it feel good.
We like comfort. So what do you...
Hey,
what,
my daughter told me a joke this morning I want to tell you.
All right, go ahead.
A White Sox fan, a Cincinnati fan, a Red Sox fan, and a Yankee fan all climbed to the top of a mountain.
Right.
To kind of confess their love for their team.
Right.
So the White Sox fan goes, Chicago White Sox are the best team in the world. I'm going to prove that by jumping off this cliff. And he jumps. And then all the ones are like, wow, I mean, that's what a sacrifice. So Cincinnati fan says, no, I won't be outdone. So he jumps. He claims his faith into the Reds and jumps himself. Well, the Red Sox fan, he's like, holy crap, I'm not going to. So the Red Sox says, I'm going to claim my true faith to the Red Sox, and he pushes the Yankee fan off the cliff.
Now, I know your daughter's not that much of a baseball fan. Who did she use in her joke?
Yeah, that was the joke.
No, it wasn't.
That's why she page marked the book that had that, and that was one of the reasons why she got the book for me.
She knows.
How much I detest the Yankees.
The Red Sox, I think, are down in Houston tonight, getting ready to play the Astros. You gonna go?
So is President Trump.
Oh, that's right. He's there. He's there too today. Visiting. Family.
I hope they don't allow cameras in there, but they will.
Yeah, I hope not.
And he'll screw up his
lines.
Talk to him. Yeah, and it's just he. And he's just, again, he's not that kind of person, man.
Yeah, they, Mike and I talked about this, but he shouldn't.
He can't show empathy. He's not an empathetic. He can't show empathy.
He can't. He's not that guy. Okay.
He's a businessman. You know, he's a successful businessman don't have empathy. And that's, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so. Just stop trying.
Don't pretend to show it. Yeah.
Stop trying. Yeah. It's not, all you do is you become a shit magnet. You know, just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. Hey, I want to ask you a serious question. Well, no, before we talk, because I have a legitimate serious question for you, today. But before we do that, today's a birthday of a good buddy of yours.
Buck Schrader turns 32.
So what are you doing?
Buck.
What are you doing for Buck on his birthday? Did you get him anything?
I'm still his friend.
That's your present to him?
That's priceless.
You allow him to be your friend?
It's priceless.
Wow, he must be excited about that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And if he's listening, then he's probably laughing, and he probably swore something. Some profanity came out of his mouth just now.
He doesn't know Megan. He doesn't know Megan's in the truck, so be careful, Buck.
Well, I'm on headset. I'm on the headset.
Oh, all right. Because Mike, I went under the bus one time. I'm telling a story. He doesn't tell me Megan. He doesn't tell me I'm on Bluetooth speaker. Got a buddy and a daughter in the car, in the truck. And all of a sudden, I finish. I hit the funny part of the story. And then and I hear, whoa, hey, what's going on? I'm like, are you kidding me? Did we just do that? He's like, yep. So, anyway. All right. Good to know.
Anyway.
Exactly. Anyway, so you're not going to get Buck a present?
What do you get a man that has everything?
Nothing. You don't get him anything because he doesn't need anything. So yeah. That's it? He got everything?
He has happiness. That's what he has.
Oh, there you go. That's so nice. All right.
Again, that's priceless. So you can't wrap that up.
You're right. You're getting him nothing. We got him. Okay. Next question. What do you, are you going to send me that recipe that you talked about the other day?
Oh, the chicken salad bulka?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I forgot. I'm sorry.
All right. That's all right. All right. Send that to me. Okay. I want to ask you, this is kind of a Haditha kind of war crimes question. So it's a serious question. If you were the convening authority, so if you were the meth commander, when you look at this, you look at all the statements, who do you hold responsible for stuff like that? The novices that look to Sergeant Musselman and he says, clear that building, let's go, all right? And we're in the hallway and boom, we blast in there and we're doing our thing. And at they're 19, 18, 19, and 20, I don't hold them responsible. Hey.
You do to some degree. It's percentages.
Okay. All right. So what?
I mean, everybody's responsible for their actions, right?
Yes.
I mean, everybody knows right from wrong. I mean, almost psychopaths don't understand that. And children, real small children.
Okay. So let's talk about that. But you're my guy. You're my guy. Sergeant Musselman tells me to do it. Right? Am I as a novice, as a first term, been in the Marine Corps a couple of years, am I supposed to know that I don't obey that order he just gave
because
the law of land warfare says I shouldn't do that? Am I supposed to know that?
The Marine Corps, one of its slogans that has on banners is honor, courage, and commitment.
Right. I'm supposed to know.
Yeah. You honor yourself. Your team, the core, the country, the whole thing, you committed to yourself and the fight. And you have to have not only physical courage, but mental courage as well to know right from wrong. And we broadcast honor, courage, commitment. We teach it to our recruits. And so we should understand when something, I'm told to do something that's just fundamentally, morally, goes against all my convictions and then refuse to do that.
Okay, but I guess then what happens if, because when you look at this, and I'm in my head is Haditha, and then behind that is My Lai, okay? I think two very different cases. So we're headed for a building that we got told to clear. We believe we got shot at out of there, and we're going to go clear it. The way I got taught at Mojave Viper, right? So we set the stack. We set the stack. We go, grenade goes in the room. Boom. It goes off. Shit everywhere. Things are moving. Pop, 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 pop. Am I, as PFC McNamara, am I culpable for that?
Now, to some degree, there's confusion. There's
right.
Disorientation.
Right.
I understand that. And that right. has to be factored in at all levels, but
right.
Again, it comes down to, again, or sometimes, and I used to say this a lot over there, was the best shot sometimes is the shot you don't take.
Right.
I mean, do they deserve it? Yeah, maybe. Do they deserve it right now? Not necessarily.
No.
The problem with those things, the Haditha, the Hamadiyya, the My Lai, all those factors have one thing in common, and that common thing is the common thread always comes down to frustration. You fight the enemy and you get your butt kicked, you lose people, and it's frustrating. So you kind of build this up, this revenge frustration, and then that kind of overwhelms you and it takes hold of you.
Okay,
and it clouds your decision making.
Will you do me a favor? Use a different word other than frustration, because when people hear frustration, they can relate to it. I'll use the Haditha thing. When you see a friend of yours that's laying in the street, that's in two pieces, right? With his
Oh, you're angry. You're hurt. You're angry. Yeah. You're betrayed. I mean, you go through all those emotions.
Yeah, you're furious. I mean, it's something. I mean, I call it my black blood. You know, when you call it your black blood, it's the blood you kill with, right, Mike? I mean, and you want to kill. I mean, it's that kind of level of frustration that probably most people have never experienced.
Yeah, it's animalistic.
You want to do it.
Yeah, it's very animalistic. It's very primitive. You know, you resort to your primitive nature, where it's fight and win. It's kill or be killed.
Right. Okay. So let me just I want to walk you through, and I'm curious about your thoughts.
I'm going through Crescent in about 2 minutes, so I might lose you. I'll just regret you. But go ahead.
Got it. You're my squad leader. We get told to clear that building. We head over there. We've been shot up from that building. That's what we believe. We get ready to go in. We get set, and boom, door gets kicked in, and there's a figure's, you know, 4 feet in front of me. Boom, I shoot him. He goes down. Another figure further in the wall, down the wall, or down the hallway. Boom, boom, I shoot. That person goes down. We move down the hall. We see that they're civilians, unarmed old people. All right, we're going to clear the first room. Grenade goes in. Boom. Pop, 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 pop. All right, we then look, right, and somebody yells clear, and then we see that it's nothing but unarmed civilians.
Right.
Okay, you've never done this before. You're clearing. Right, the way you as a sergeant, I've never done it either as a PFC, but you as a sergeant. So what happens now? Our blood's up, we're fired up, but this data point is wrong. Do we keep going and clear the rest of the house? Tell me what Sergeant Musselman does.
Or is something bad's already happened?
Yeah, something. We've just walked over a body of an older man and older woman, both unarmed. We threw a grenade in.
Then
we sprayed the room. The dust clears, as you know, it takes a few minutes, right? The dust clears. We look, and then there's the oh shit moment. What happens then?
Yeah, you that's where you stop and you have to regain your senses.
Got it.
And realize, yeah, if you continue down that path, then you're going to create more bad outcomes.
So you can, based on the events of the morning, you can, and I'm not going to say that it's right, but you can justify up to that first bedroom. Yes? I mean,
the confusion.
All of that.
But you can't justify it as your actions after that.
Right.
Because if you're using the critical decision model, you know, you're observing, you're orienting, you're deciding, you're acting, and you're making those bad decisions off of bad information, and you continue to go forward with that, then, yeah, you can't justify any of that stuff.
All right, talk about, I'm curious, because the Navy's kind of going through this right now.
All right, here's where I'm going to lose you probably, so keep going.
All right, the Navy's hoping to get plea deals so that they don't have to put in front of God and everybody what happened on the bridge of the McCain. That guy just pled guilty. They don't have to. So as the convening authority, are you only concerned about the truth? Are you concerned about damage control relative to the Marine Corps and the institution? Are you look at the young guys whose lives that this is going to ruin? Do you look at them with some compassion but say they've got to pay too? How do you?
I look at all of that.
All of that.
You weigh all of that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, does it suck? Sure. But how do you get better? How do you come out of it as a better force afterwards? That's the question you got to ask.
And so if it means that this thing's got to get drugged through the street, then you allow it to be drugged through the street?
If it means you got to get dirty, you got to get dirty. And
again,
then you can clean up afterwards.
Again. But the truth's got to go into the window because
because then if you don't, you're going to get dirty again.
Right. So this ends it. The contention of this movie that's out there called House 2 is that Mattis, by immunizing the Marines that he immunized, there was only Woodridge left to prosecute, and they didn't want the NCIS guys to go in there with all their forensics, because if they would have gone in there with all their forensics, it would have made the Marine Corps prosecution look stupid, that they immunized guys who were shooters very early in the process, and they screwed the whole thing up. And so Madison, if you believe the conspiracy piece of it, and I don't, and because, again, he's one of those guys, if you put a pistol in his mouth and tell him to lie, he'll look at you and say, pull the trigger. He's not doing it. But so it's just interesting to look at the bigger picture in these cases, who you immunize, who's going to be culpable, because the way the Marine Corps did it was the squad leader, we just lost him, but he'll call back. But the squad leader was going to be held culpable, and there's nobody else near it. You know, I talked to somebody who was on the jury yesterday afternoon, just by coincidence. He sent out a text message, and I was involved in it. And he was in the jury, and he said, yeah, you know, there's no the officer that the lieutenant, right? He gave the order to clear, but he didn't lead the clear. It was, you know, it was squad leader that led the clear, and the company commander wasn't there yet. So, interesting. Rejoining us, Michael Musselman.
Yeah, it's always right there at the border of Parker County and Bibb County. So, call drop.
I like that. It's just interesting the way the Marine Corps prosecuted it, and that they, you know, they did immunize everybody but the squad leader, and that was, you know, that was the way they were going to handle this. So, and I don't know if that's right or wrong. As you said, I think I agree with you. The truth is important, and how do you get to it? You know, how do you get
the truth is the most important thing.
Right. Because as Mike,
and you know, you owe the truth to America,
everybody.
You know, to the nation. Yeah. It's when you stop, you know, you look at Congress and politics, that's the defining moment of when you stop letting the truth get out. And, you know, that's why it's so bad that we don't believe and trust in our politicians anymore. We don't, because, you know, that's not about the truth anymore.
I said, I hadn't talked about the Roseanne Barr thing, but to me, what it highlights to me is the disconnect in our country between, not between black and white people, but between people that live in the center part of the country, people that live in small town America, who provide for themselves, don't look to the government for a solution, who are sick and tired of this. And then the people that run the media, the people that live in big cities that think, you know, the way to do this is government's going to take care of you. And it's a huge disconnect in our country. And as you said, it's not about the truth anymore. You see a black woman, you know, who's blogged about gays and whatnot. She keeps her job. With a major media company, a major news company, NBC News. She keeps her job by telling a lie, saying, well, I think it got hacked because, you know, I didn't write that. Right. And she keeps her job, but Roseanne Barr is, and Roseanne Barr should have been fired, without a doubt. But this is what brought you Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton as our choice in the last election. And it's just, when you have a guy like, in my opinion, like Trey Gowdy, you know, who yesterday said, yeah, the FBI should have had an informant in Trump's campaign. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's going on? Here's a Republican saying that. Did he just tell the truth about something? Did a politician just do that? And who the hell is that? Because Trey Gowdy, in my opinion, he's a straight shooter. He's not afraid to tell
the truth. He's a man about the truth.
Right. And he's going home because he said he can't take Washington, D.C. anymore. For that reason alone, he ought to be the next Republican nominee to be president. You know, or a guy like Secretary Mattis. I know he would hate it that I would say this, but you know what? If you listen to the things he says, the plain spoken truths that he enunciates, to me, the country needs that. We are sick and tired of the Hillary Clintons and the Donald Trump. And I, and Mike and I have said, I like some of Donald Trump's policies, you know, but, you know, as a, you know, it wouldn't bother me one bit if Mike Pence was the president, because you'd see the same policies without it, without all the other nonsense. But we've got to get better people to run this country, because we are
right.
we are dying on it. So anyway,
we need virtuous. Yeah, we need more virtuous people.
Yeah, people that believe. Like, can you imagine saying the truth doesn't matter, and everybody going, everybody else saying, yeah, you're right, the truth doesn't matter. Like,
right.
What? And everybody just like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's progressive liberalism. That's what this is done to this country. I mean, Starbucks, you know, that whole thing with Starbucks might crack me up, what they had to do. You know, if you're hiring people that you need to train, that need to be, you have to train them to be sensitive towards, then you're hiring the wrong people. You know, no training in the world is going to do this.
Wait, Mike, what's going to happen the next time Starbucks has an event? Right? And they,
oh,
and they will.
Yeah.
And they will. What's going to happen?
Absolutely.
They're going to get this. Yeah. What did you do in that training? Didn't you? All of that? You're going to hear all of that.
Yeah. You know, and Starbucks' biggest concern is they didn't want to turn themselves into like a homeless shelter.
Which is legit. Yes. People
that's a big concern.
People just go in there and they take up space and they buy a cup of tea and they take up a table for hours in those places.
Yeah, and they use the free Wi-Fi because
right.
they don't want to spend their own money to get their own Wi-Fi. So they, again, it's this, they, everybody's going to provide for me. I don't need to do anything myself because it'll be provided for me.
That's it. That's it. So, and again, that, to me, that's the disconnect. That's the disconnect in this country. The hypocrisy that those people. And here's an interesting question, Mac. Do you think Harvey Weinstein would have been indicted if Hillary Clinton had been elected president?
No. 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 Not at all.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the answer is, I mean, he had powerful people, and nobody messed with him, right? Nobody messed with him.
Yeah, he had.
Is it a coincidence?
He had a lot of friends.
Is it a coincidence that all this stuff has happened in the entertainment industry after Donald Trump got elected, who didn't owe any allegiance or protection to those people?
Yeah, they lost their sugar daddy, man. All those people, this protected class.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it is an interesting coincidence, and you know that, and again, it's not like those people didn't know the rumors about that guy. It's just the icky nature of the way our country is today, and we need more guys.
Yeah,
like
I'm waiting for
Trey
Gowdy. I'm waiting for George Soros to be indicted on the thing.
Again, get the fire hose out, man. Get the fire hose out and let it rip. All right.
Or you know, as I saw in a video, hire a weasel. Or a mink. Do you know what those things do?
Don't they go down holes? Don't they go down holes?
You know what they're known for?
Killing rats.
Killing rats.
Right.
Yeah, killing rats. That's what we have right now. In DC, our mink and weasel population are growing up, are getting bigger because they're going out killing rats.
And even worse, on top of that, is our whole media thing, and the only thing they care about is money, right? Is the dollar, which is what businesses
right.
do, right? And what sells whatever you click on? What are you clicking on? The loudest, most bombastic bullshit that goes out every day. So that's what occupies
right.
our media? Come on, man. And
yeah.
but it is. That's what. And social media, they're about the truth and doing good things. No, they're not.
Well,
they're really just stealing your personal data and selling it to other people. That's what they're doing. It isn't about anything.
Well, you look at things like the National Enquirer and the Star Tribune and all these gossip magazines, people, and, you know, why do they continue, the periodicals to continue to sell? Because it's their lies and their scandals and their cheats, and that's what people are, they like that. Reality TV, why is it so big? Because, again, the Kardashians, why are they? Because they're built on lies, scandals, and, you know, just, filthy, filthy, you know, morals.
But that's what that is what plays out front and center every day in our country.
And that's what sells.
Email. Hey, Mac, next week, can you do a piece similar to what you did with the Glock with the 45? We have to. Come on. The 45?
Yeah.
Semi-automatic cannon? Human stopper?
Yeah.
All right. No, I mean...
Firepower extraordinaire.
No, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. Yeah, we'll do the 45 next. Mike will have to send me some pictures. We'll put them up, and we'll walk through the 45. And what you can...
Yeah, I'll talk to you about the birth and how the 45 came about and the lines that it was built on. And,
No, I think that's really interesting because there's much of what Mike dispels on whenever we do that is based on the propaganda and mythology that grows out of things that get said and taught that aren't based in science. So.
And I still hear it. Even, I mean, people that I train and stuff, they have the same, thought process. It's like, but I was always told that the round's bigger and it's more powerful. You're like, okay.
Megan's rolling her eyes. She's like, God, even I know that's not true. What a bunch of dopes.
Yeah.
The, all right, so let me write that down. 45 show. The, hold on, finish writing. Here's another email. Mac, I'm interested in buying a scope for a deer rifle. I'm not interested in breaking the bank. I'd like to get something new, though. Gunner got any recommendations? Yeah, basic deer scope, Mike.
Yeah.
A good one.
A basic deer scope, get a Burris.
Spell it.
B-U-R-R-I-S, Burris.
Burr.
They're very affordable. They good glass. They're good scopes, well built. They're not super expensive. They're not, you got the higher end gun people that are sneer at it and like, oh, I'll never buy a Burris and put that on my gun. Like, okay. It's good enough. Good enough kills deer. And so, the Red Fuel. Those things have been around a lot longer than the others and they've been doing a fantastic job. Burris makes good scopes. There's a lot of smaller companies now that make good scopes and everybody's going after the big market of the next and everybody goes after tactical scopes. Cause why? Cause that's from movies and that's what the police use and the military use. So if man, they use it, it's gotta be good. So I gotta have one on my rifle. The problem is you spend $5,000 on a scope that you'll never be good enough to use anyway to fully utilize all the capabilities that that thing has to offer. And that scope will always be better than you and you never attain to the level that it was really built for. You don't have that kind of training. You can't go out and do it all the time like those guys do, like the police snipers and the military snipers. I mean, those guys shoot all the time. Yeah. So just get something good enough.
Somebody just sent me a link. Mac, will you ask the gunner about this? Marines are replacing the Mini Green Laser with an upgraded version of the Hail and Warning system that integrates laser range finding and allows troops to better target individuals with the laser to avoid lethal encounters. The laser is known as the Glare Recoil and dubbed the LA-22/U by the Marine Corps. Is a dazzling laser that uses laser range finding, near field detection, and 3-axis gyroscopes as part of its safety controls, according to B.E. Myers and Company news release. Are you familiar with it?
I know some about it. I know Brad Myers real well. I mean, Brad Myers was the owner of the company for a while, and then his son now owns it. B.E. Myers is kind of like the leading guys when it comes to lasers and stuff and rangefinders. You're talking about, you got a couple things going on in that question. There's one, so you have a multi-capable system where you have something that can actually, you can see, so it's a visible spectrum. So You can blind somebody. You can deter them from doing something, things like that. And then you also have a capability where the laser range finder gives you a range to the target.
Okay, hold on, hold on. So you can flip the laser between something that somebody could see, like this little pen laser that I have that I use when I do public speaking and want to point something out. So you have that spectrum, and then you can flip a switch and have
invisible spectrum, the infrared spectrum.
Where you can only
see IR laser.
Right, where you only see it with some kind of night vision device.
Night vision.
Okay, so you have both those.
And you have a one that actually will give off impulses and then give you a range to that target that you're actually targeting. So that's just basic feedback. You know, the laser impulse goes down. There's a little collecting device on the front that can read the feedback from how long it took the laser from the point of origin to the point where it actually came, it actually hit, and then the return. And it tells you how far that is.
Okay. Let me read you this and comment on it. The glare recoil can engage targets up to 500 meters, and if the person being warned, Marines can increase the beam's intensity to achieve, quote, voluntary compliance. The lasers are used in such operations as urban patrolling, coordinate search, crowd control, clearing facilities, and securing checkpoints. Talk about that.
Sure. I mean, even the old lasers, the visible red dot, it's just that you've seen the movies where, like, the bad guy standing in the window and there's, like, 19 red dots on his chest.
Yep.
Okay, so that's, and he sees that. That's pretty intimidating. I would have to imagine that would probably strike the fear of God in me. Like, oh, okay, what do you want me to do?
Please don't.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about an incapacitation type thing where, you know, you're shining at them and it's just a super bright light, that's what the laser is, it prevents them from going forward because now they just can't see anything. You know, now you're talking about a whole different can of worms there. So that was the good thing about the green beam laser. It was so strong during even daytime. You can shine that thing in, you know, a bright sunlight on a nice sunny day in Torrance Palms. You can see the laser spot still, you know, hundreds of meters up in front of you. But the thing looked like a lightsaber. It was so big.
Yeah, when you look at the pictures of this, obviously it's much smaller. It looks like something that we've already had, but much more powerful. In fact, the laser that you can use is to blind somebody shows, you know, looks like somebody with a helmet on, this thing attached to the barrel, and somebody down a hallway that's now blinded by this if you have it on that setting, more powerful laser that obviously would blind them.
So. Yeah, I mean, they're still working on, like, ADS is a still alive system, the active denial system and the aerial denial. And, you know, that's just like a microwave dish that shoots a laser that superheats the surface of your skin like a microwave, makes you feel nauseous or uncomfortable or hot, prevents people from staying in one location, pushes people away. Trying to get that system out there in a smaller compact. Because right now it fits on the size of, you know, need a Humvee.
Ooh.
Yeah, thing's huge.
Another email. Mac, I heard the gunner say the other day that the number one thing that he advocated for in all the different equipment changes the Marine Corps is going through is the communications suite and the way a squad would communicate. Could he walk through in a perfect world what he'd like to see? Yeah, Mike, you mentioned that the other day. We didn't go into it. Talk about that. What, in a perfect world?
Perfect world would be, you know, so go into an area, set up an artificial transponder receiver kind of setup, kind of like our cell phone towers that we have here that we can talk
okay.
you know, anywhere. We can get data and video and all that stuff. You're basically creating an infrastructure like a Wi-Fi web, you know,
your own,
infrastructure.
You're creating your own network, right?
Right. And so, but then you encrypt it. So only your systems, you know, your things with your SIM cards on it can use it. Just like, I mean, like today, I mean, I can't use the AT&T if I'm on Verizon, right? I don't get that same coverage. So they're just encrypted and the data is secure, but I can get voice, I can get visual, I can get, you know, you can text me a map, you can do all sorts of things. So my perfect world would be some kind of ruggedized looking cell phone device that would, you know, have on your body 24-hour or longer battery capability. It would be wireless, so your comm systems would pick it up and be like voice activated. Like I can, you know, hey Siri, and she speaks to me, and I can say, hey, pull up this, you know. And so I don't have to actually look down. I can stay situationally aware. But the number one thing comes down to is pushing all facets of communication. So text, voice, media, video, I mean, everything. So, I mean, you don't have to be there. You can give a warning order over a video message. Like I can call you on FaceTime, you know, and talk to you, have a conversation, look at you, look at your facial expressions, make sure you understand that, you know, you walk away from that, you know, man, he looks kind of angry or he looks concerned. Yeah. You know, those type of things.
Or he looked confused. And, hey, what are you confused about, yeah. Mike? So okay.
Or I can send you data and then you pull up a map that's already superimposed on your map.
Got
you
it.
Know?
Got it. Okay, so talk to me about the squad. Who in the squad?
Everybody.
Everybody in the squad has talks via talks.
Yeah,
can
but
talk.
Then you're setting basically like we have four people on our contact list that when we message it goes to all of them, right?
Right.
So you set up your same contact list, so not everybody's getting the information. So the Senate doesn't need to talk to everybody in the platoon. He just needs to talk to the key leaders in this platoon. So he's got that kind of setup. If he wants to pass everything, he clicks another button.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, the technology that we use every day on our cell phones is so simple. And again, it's intuitive. You don't have to teach it. Because, I mean, just every kid joining the Marine Corps has got a cell phone these days.
Right. So all I do is I hit a button. I'm talking on channel one. I'm talking to company. I hit another button. I'm talking to the key leaders of my platoon. I hit another button. I'm talking to everybody in the platoon. And so you just alter that at every level so that you can speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Communications is pretty dang easy.
Right. Why don't we do that? Is it simply a cost, or have we not figured out the technology? So you were in a position to see a lot of this stuff.
It's got to pass a certain rugged test. Right. And I'm not a big fan of that either, because it doesn't have to be indestructible.
Right.
It's just got to be simple, and it's got to be what we call off the shelf. Basically, we don't need industry to build this thing from scratch. We don't need to reinvent it. We just use current technologies.
And then maybe.
And then it breaks. And then maybe, have another one. Build it. And we put, you know, we give it to you like the cell phone guy does when you buy a cell phone from AT&T. He activates it. All your information is transferred over from your old phone, and you go out the door in less than 5 minutes.
Got it. All right. Are you at lunch?
No, we're driving there, so
okay.
We're good.
All right.
I could talk for about 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Another email. Hey, Mac, as long as you guys are talking about it, my question is, how does this work with a helmet? Does the helmet have to be redesigned? And
no.
Go ahead.
It's just we build it into the system that's already there. So, I mean, we have Bluetooth headphones that sync up to your cell phone. You know, you hold two buttons, you pair them, and that's it. So there's heads. You can go right now and buy in the market earphones, acoustic decibel canceling shooting earphones that will pair to your cell phone. So if you're on the range and you get a cell phone call, you pick it up and you're shooting on the range and talking on the phone. You know, like I am right now, I'm driving my truck and talking to you on the phone. You know, and if I had you on speaker, they'd pick up every noise within my truck. I mean, there's simple, simple things that we can do. I don't know why we elect to gloss over them. We don't take them in consideration.
The question though has been, you know, do we need everybody capable of talking? And to me, when you begin to think about it, if you can create that network,
right?
What you're talking about is you're not gonna have to scream and yell, okay? Your weapons, the people that are gonna go in harm's way, their weapons are suppressed, and so. If you think about it, the most difficult thing to do was the screaming and the yelling and the confusion. If you can knock that down a few levels, because you can speak to people and people know what's going on, you can be a much more lethal force. I mean, it's exciting to think about something like that, because so much time was spent on just trying to get somebody's attention to get them to move so that you can do this. And then they're looking down their rifle and there's noise and you're screaming and you have to go get them and they're a couple hundred meters away or whatever. Just, you can imagine a system that's not like that. A system that reacts quickly, that's more agile, that's more deadly. It's, has that, now you talked about the priorities that when you were with the division, that you know, come out of the division. Where was Calm relative to those priorities?
Calm, always with us at the division, was always in the top five. I mean, it was always a huge deal, because General Nicholson was the kind of, he understood that to be lethal, you don't have to have a bigger caliber bullet. Lethality, we were as lethal as we were going to be on the battlefield when it came to employing our weapon systems. But it really came down to was the whole thing of, where it needs to go is, you know, what we need to look at really is the whole picture, as far as if you increase communication and everybody has a better understanding of where they need to be and when they need to be there, then that also increases lethality. You know, that just is deadly. When everybody's synced up, information is being passed. People like you, when you're working in the COC, can make better informed decisions and then allocate resources quicker and more responsive and kind of read into what's going on before it's happening. So that's why I really like, I mean, the whole communication piece to me was critical. Because once you have, the better comms you had, everything on the battlefield was smoother. Everything. Fighting capability, your movement capability, again, allocating resources, everything. And, you know, the crazy thing about communications is you don't have to have everybody talking either. The fact that you're reading the battlefield and you can kind of predict where things need to be based on your experiences and your capabilities and allocate those things. Those are, I think, more important. So the better communications you have, more people don't talk. The worst, when you have bad comms, you know, when you have bad comms is everybody's talking. Everybody in the world is talking. Why? Because they're lacking situational awareness. So they have to build it by communicating. The better communication you have on the battlefield requires less.
This, my opinion is, you build situational awareness by listening. there's some nets that you have no business even being on, but you watch it. You watch him in chat.
Well, you listen to it.
Right? You watch him, and what does that allow you? It allows you to have the greater situational awareness. So when Mike's engaged and he needs a three-quarter inch socket attached to an extension in a cordless screwdriver, he gets ready to say it and yell and turn, and somebody puts that in his hand. And he says, how'd you do
it? Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about it. When you hear everything going around you, and like you said, it may not be your net, but eventually it's going to come to you. So if you're the resource provider, you're listening, and you're like, oh, man, they sound like they're going to need some help, or they sound like they're going to need support, and you start getting that support ready. And so when it actually comes to you, and you say, it's launch, or it's on its way.
Yeah.
People are like, what?
Yeah. What just happened? And let me just tell you, and that's what you hear F-18 guy, and you heard some other guys on this program. That's what we did in both Iraq and Afghanistan is that, you know, there's some people that run combat operation centers. They just sit there and they process. When you ask for something, they do it. And the rest of the time they're watching books or they're watching movies or reading books.
And that's a great case study of this is like when Rudy and Metro and those guys, the air guys, we listened to Nets again. They didn't have any, they didn't need to be on, but they would listen to this,
right.
And then they would contact that unit's higher and give them, hey, options, because they maybe don't know of these different options, and they could then interject into that battalion situation awareness. Hey, this is available if you want it. I got it ready for you. Again, standing by. And then that battalion then would call down to that company and go, hey, do you need this? And so then, because sometimes you're not thinking about that, and then all of a sudden that company commander, that troop commander goes, yeah, that would be great. It's on its way. Instead of being reactive, you know, everybody's sitting there pondering, and you got the right answer, but you don't want to bring it out because no one's asked for it yet.
Well, and you're not paying attention. And I'll give you a great example. Kyle Carpenter is alive. Because we had we're communicating in chat windows, right?
Right.
And so we have different people whose job it is to look at company chat windows, and we don't communicate in it. We just when what we're looking for is contact IDs, small arms fire, so that we can focus quicker, right? So the day Carpenter gets wounded, when the company sent to the battalion, standby for urgent medevac, when they sent that, right, our guys saw it, and just little things. You could turn different words, different colors. So we had this code. Medevac is always in red. So when medevac pops on the screen and you might have 16 windows open, right, the red color catches your eye because you know it's something bad, right? Boom.
All right.
And then they would yell, stand by for urgent medevac, echo company 2-8 out of this. And with that, our air guys would call over. The helo starts spinning. And then by the time they dropped the five lines of the medevac brief, the helicopter was lifting. Now, that normally would start the process. And the reason Kyle Carpenter is alive today is because, you know, we had smart guys paying attention, and we're committed to making a difference. When that guy turned to say, hey, it's like it just launched. Like, what? Like, yeah, we've been paying attention, right? Never said a word, right? But it's that kind of – and that's what Mike's talking about. When you're listening to what your squad leader is saying to the other team leaders – you know, you're nodding your head like, I got it. And your team leader goes to tell you, and you give them the thumbs up like, yeah, I got it. That's big, because so much of getting a unit pointed in a certain direction. I mean, even target acquisition. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? You know, when you can say, you know, normally the way you communicate that is on my, you know, tracers. Boom, 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 boom. You know, and then people looking like, oh, okay. But when you could say, you know, look at this, from there, this. Everybody's on the same target immediately. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do that, well. So hopefully the Marine Corps gets that done. All right, you guys are all going to have lunch. What's the big occasion?
Nothing. Just good. Good now.
just living up to your philosophy that you don't need to celebrate Valentine's Day only on Valentine's Day. You can do it 365 days a year doing that.
Yep. Unpredictable.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, tell the girls, everybody on All Marine Radio says, hey, and have a great lunch. Where are you going for lunch? What are you eating?
We're actually eating some of the best Mexican food I've ever eaten in Texas so far, and it comes from a food truck in Fort Worth at a gas station.
A food truck at a gas station in Fort Worth. How does it stack relative to Las Cuantas Milpa?
Oh, and that's not that. Yeah, it's not that. But it, you know what it stacks to? Pedro's.
Oh, well, that's quality.
Yeah.
That's quality.
Yeah.
Pedro's.
It reminds me, biting into the burritos. They're big like Fray Pedro's, and they have that, you know, that flour tortilla is the same, everything, I mean, everything. The flavors are all there. You're like, oh, this is Pedro's.
Nice. All right. So when you go there, what do you get there?
I usually get either their beef and potato burrito or their carne asada burrito or their pork burrito. I mean, I've had all of them.
What are you going to get today?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Try something different.
All right. Well, tell the girls we say hello.
They have good tacos, too.
They got
the crispy tacos.
You like crispy
tacos? The ones that they...
Yeah. Yeah, they're better. The ones they fry. Not as healthy, mind you, but they taste so much better. All right. Tell the girls we said hey and happy birthday, Buck.
All right. Yeah.
All right, bud.
I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. Michael Musselman. Here's another email. If we would have had something like that, my life would have been so much easier and even harder when you're inside of a city trying to communicate, trying to see, trying to look, know what's around the corner. It's just really difficult. I don't think, especially when you're looking for people, it makes simple things very, very difficult in that environment. Being able to communicate. And maybe everybody can't talk, but being able to listen, to know what's going on, would have helped a lot. Hopefully the Marine Corps will get that solved. Because in my opinion, you and the gunner are absolutely right. That's a huge part. That'll do it. On a Thursday already. How about that? Thursday. That's right, sports fans. It's Thursday. That means tomorrow's Friday. This program repeats itself momentarily. Do not touch that dial, whatever you do. My thanks to Grant Newsham for coming on. So, hour one, check some news headlines. Talk about Roseanne a little bit. I haven't spoken to her, so you'll hear that. And then Grant Newsham, in a really interesting discussion, the Pacific Command has been renamed Indo-Pacific. And I think to emphasize and to poke a finger right in China's eye that we recognize the significance of the Indian Ocean, the link between the Indian Ocean, if you look on your map, is the South China Sea, the Malaccan Straits, through that area. And so the Chinese attempt to shut down the South China Sea is going nowhere. Also, interesting discussion of, okay, so what's next? The CIA chimed in earlier in the week with a report that said, yeah, we do not believe that the North Koreans are interested in denuclearization. I talked to you about the early bird and about the commentary section of the early bird in a publication called Foreign Policy. Kim won't be duped like Gaddafi. Washington's Libya model for nuclear negotiations is an illustration of why nuclear weapons are necessary. So, interesting little article there. A little noticed player goes big in the Indo-Pacific. That's in a blog called War on the Rocks. While many eyes are on China's port investment in the Indian Ocean, Japan has also been busy. The scale of its infrastructure investments in the region rivals and sometimes exceeds that of China. So, an article about what Japan is doing to counteract China and to best them at their own game. There's another article. Are sanctions the best bet for deterring Iran? Another article, Defense News. Why the U.S. should stock up on Tomahawk missiles. Another one. How to admit Georgia, the former Soviet satellite, into NATO without triggering a war. This year marks the 10th anniversary of the Bucharest summit, at which NATO promised eventual membership to the South Caucasian country. It has yet to happen. State Department, before Mike Pompeo's remarks, said that the Pompeo meetings went very well. We'll see. Cautiously pessimistic, as Grant Newsham would say. And I believe him to be right. All right, have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning on a Thursday. All Marine Radio, out.